You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
So yesterday in the first of the two-part series, we had a look, of course, at what was in this report called the John Steenhuisen Report into the Leadership Crisis in the City of Cape Town under the leadership of Mayor Patricia de Lille. And in essence, of course, that first podcast focused on the main narrative, which has to do with the fact that she is seen as being incredibly divisive, as being a bully, as being factionalist, and also having centralized power within the caucus of the City of Cape Town, and that that is something which the party obviously thinks is at odds with its basic principles as the Liberal Democratic Party that prefers to decentralize some of the decision making within the caucus and within the governance structure of cities where it is in charge. Now, as promised, in this segment today, I want to actually have a look at some of the other characters that are implicated in the Steenhuisen report. And this is why the report had been kept under wraps, by the way, because there are other characters who also come out not quite looking that good. And it speaks to a far greater problem that the Democratic Alliance has in how it is running the city of Cape Town than simply the debate around whether or not the mayor, Patricia de Lille, is still fit for purpose and whether she should keep on being the leader of the DA in the city. And so I want to go through some of the other people that are implicated before pulling it all together. And then after that, of course, give you a chance to also opine on what's going on and how the DA is handling this in general. So the first thing to note is that the caucus chairperson comes out not looking very great. And the report says the following, and I'll quote, "There's a concern that the chairperson does not sufficiently protect members of caucus from abuse that far exceeds the bounds of robust debate. Caucus members complain of being belittled, humiliated, and set upon if they ask a question that is not to the mayor's liking and which she considers a criticism of her view. Some have indicated that their contributions are labeled as stupid. Caucus members further indicate, says the report, that this has caused a situation where the majority of caucus members now simply disengage from debate or discussion on most items." You might recall from part one of this two-part explanation of the Steenhuisen report that I was talking yesterday about her divisive leadership structure. What I'm trying to do now is share with you what the evidence is, as far as the subcommittee is concerned, of what it has found by way of supporting the claims about the autocratic leadership style of the mayor. And there you have it. She is alleged to have a cabal of people on her side that basically does her bidding for her, and the caucus chairperson is one of them. But it gets worse. The chief whip also comes out looking very bad in this report. And let me quote again from the report. The report says, "The chief whip should be the person caucus members, regardless of their views, go to in order to express their concerns. Members of caucus, however, feel that Sean August is too closely linked to the mayor, and that when differing viewpoints are expressed or frustrations are shared, there's always an implication that there will be political consequences for members who share different viewpoints or positions to that of the mayor and her team." And the committee goes on to say that many of the councillors they had interviewed say that some of their views are deemed quote-unquote career-limiting and could well block advancement of these councillors. So what we have so far is the mayor effectively a picture of her being in cahoots with a caucus chairperson and the chief whip in terms of sidelining people and also bullying people who disagree with the mayor on all sorts of debates. But it doesn't stop there. The speaker also comes out not looking great in this report from John Steenhuisen. Now, let me quote again. Under a section called The Speaker, the following is written by Steenhuisen on behalf of the subcommittee. "It would appear that the speaker, too, is regarded by many as being aligned to the mayor and her team, and this inhibits his role as an independent arbiter in caucus disputes. Councillors have indicated that the speaker refers to various members of the caucus as de liberales. If this is indeed the case, then it is deeply inappropriate, especially as the speaker should be taking steps to ensure that all councillors, regardless of affiliation, are afforded protection and both protected and also heard. This must apply to members of his own caucus too." So the picture that basically emerges here is a picture of the mayor having a very tight relationship with the chairperson, with the chief whip, and with a speaker. And the implication is that as a group, they basically go on to centralize power, to alienate people who disagree, and to make sure that you don't have much of a career within the DA caucus in the city of Cape Town unless you curry favor with any of these figures who in turn are beholden to the power concentrated in the hands of Mayor Patricia de Lille. So that's the essence of it. But I want to cut through some of the detail here because it's also interesting how there are a very serious allegations besides leadership style. Because you might say, well, you know what, leadership style, that's just a matter of personality preference. All politicians are egomaniacs, probably the subcommittee as well. So why single out Mayor Patricia de Lille for her leadership style? You need a strong leader. And as I said yesterday, someone like Ethel Trollope doesn't mince his word. He's a strong leader. Herman Mashaba is a strong leader. Helen Zille is the ultimate example of a strong leader. Leaders before in the DA, your Tony Leons was a strong leader. So, you know, the obsession with a leadership style, you might think, doesn't really count for much. But the problem is that this is not just about aesthetics and about leadership styles. She is accused of far more serious things than some of our critiques about the speech or the tone of some of the other DA leaders who also, you might say, have divisive leadership styles and tonality with which they communicate. This isn't just about communication. For example, she is accused of setting up the mayor of Cape Town, that is, sub-council chairs that haven't gone through a proper selection process. And that some of these sub-council chair positions are simply imposed on everyone within the caucus without proper procedures being followed. One example is Clive, whose name I will probably, surname I'll probably butcher with apologies. One Clive Justice, who had not been part of a pool of candidates originally announced by the mayor, was simply quote unquote imposed on them, despite objections to that effect being raised. And then remember Loyiso Nkola, a very colorful character. There's several pages in this report devoted to what seems to be incredible influence that he has because of his proximity to the mayor, Mayor Patricia de Lille. And let me just quote what it is that the subcommittee has found about Mr. Loyiso Nkola. It further appears from various inputs that Mr. Nkola enjoys a special status within the city. He has repeatedly been heard to have used the phrase, "I act with the mandate of the mayor," on several occasions, both in public meetings and in meetings with officials. It goes on, and it also says that furthermore, Loyiso has used council vehicles that was allocated to him, and despite city policy to the contrary, these would be taken to his home. They wouldn't be returned to the relevant department when they were due to be returned. So basically flouting policies that the council has in relation to the use of council property. And the reason why Loyiso apparently is just arrogant about his abuse of the policies of the city is because of his proximity to the mayor. And it concludes this discussion about Loyiso by saying, "Mr. Nkola's ever-expanding influence within the city is a cause for concern by councillors. The subcommittee was of the view that his continued role is problematic." So again, let's step back from the detail. The implication here is that key positions like that of the chief whip and the speaker, that you also don't have those people performing their roles as they should, but instead that in fact that they are all beholden to Mayor Patricia de Lille and in turn sideline the other councillors who are unable to do their job with a certain degree of honesty and integrity because they are scared of the consequences of what might happen. Now, I want to come back to, and I said this yesterday, how the committee sometimes fudges the political and the criminal. Criminal charges or alleged wrongdoing or cover-up of wrongdoing, those are very serious allegations. That is what Craig Casson was on about in his affidavit. That is also what the process from Bowman speak to. And they steer away from many of those allegations, but not entirely. There are some allegations in this particular report which are extremely, extremely serious because they impugn the integrity of Mayor Patricia de Lille. And so, for example, in relation to the Stadium Management Board, and we're now talking about the Cape Town Stadium, there's an accusation here that inappropriate and improper processes were used to basically ensure that Ms. Lemia Esop, that Ms. Esop was pretty much forced onto the board because that was what the mayor had wanted. And that was despite the fact that this particular person was not on a short list of candidates, and that her name, that Ms. Lemia Esop's name, had been inserted onto your shortlist by the mayor through interaction with Councillor van der Merwe. So basically, she's now here accused of completely having no disregard for the honest, lawful processes of making a board appointment and just imposing this person. If that's true, I mean, that's a very serious indictment against the mayor. And so the report goes on in demonstrating how the quote-unquote cabal that the mayor had set up had resulted in the mismanagement of various processes in the city in terms of how they run. And there are other examples. I'm not going to go through all of it. I think you begin to get what the nature of the evidence is against her. There's a special investigative unit, for example, that apparently has had a lot of success, according to the subcommittee, in helping to deal with gang violence, taxi violence, housing fraud, land invasions. And the special investigative unit had become, quote unquote, the victim of a vicious turf war between the mayor and Alderman J.P. Smith and the speaker. And then the last thing is that she's also accused pretty much of facilitating nepotism that has become rife in the city. Later on in the report, the subcommittee says, and I quote, "The employment of family members of councillors, particularly in the sixth floor executive suite environment, was raised as a concern by several of the persons who made submissions to the committee. One of the key examples offered was the employment of Mr. Benjamin Rousseau in the office of the chief whip. Mr. Rousseau is the son of the councillors." And the only recommendation that is made here to try and rein some of this in is that the subcommittee is of the view, quote unquote, that J.P. Smith, although he's done an excellent job, should perhaps be sent to the National Assembly or to the provincial government and be taken away from the proximity to Patricia de Lille that has caused so much tension. So let's put it all together then. What does all of this mean? You can be forgiven for finding some of the detail confusing, and it will take a long time for all of us to get on top of the detail. But the detail ultimately supports a narrative of a mayor that has been deeply divisive, a mayor that has facilitated what appears to be the entrenchment of nepotism, a mayor who has not carefully helped to make sure that the party processes and the city processes are kept apart. So conflating a distinction that normally we think the ANC has a monopoly on, not respecting the difference between party and government. And also she has been accused of being a bully who has managed to forge tight relationships with the chief whip, with the chairperson, with the speaker in order to alienate people who are against her. Given those allegations, do you think she can survive? I cannot see how the mayor will be able to survive politically. And I look forward to again being in conversation with her once she takes up the offer to see what is the nature of her response to this incredibly detailed set of complaints against her. The DA might have handled this poorly from a PR point of view, but as I said to a friend of mine last night, the fact that the DA has handled this badly from a PR point of view does not change the incredible amount of evidence, accusations at a political level that the mayor now faces. And although the mayor has been a bit of a media darling over the last week, as the details are now finally coming out into the open, I think Mayor Patricia de Lille will not survive this one.